Welcome aboard.
Hi.
This is Comparing Apples to Oranges. I'm Mike.
I'm Daniel.
And we're going to take two things that don't belong in the same genre, that kind of are in the same category, and we're compare them using a set of criteria to determine which one's better.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be dope.
Yes, that's in fact exactly what it's going to be. So, Dan, we just started summer break. This is going to come out on July 1st. So, you got anything to say to anybody before we start?
Yeah. School's out for summer.
Yeah.
School's out forever.
Right.
School's been blown to pieces.
I really don't remember that part of the summer.
Hopefully, it's not blown to pieces totally because we got to, again, I'm going to need a job here.
Yeah, we did not. School is not out for retirement, however.
No.
So, just keep it cool, everybody.
Exciting. Exciting times, though, for those of us in the education field.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's like when you ask the kids what their favorite part of school is and they say recess.
Uh-huh.
And then they say, you're not allowed to say that. And then they say lunch. And they said, no, you have to pick a class. And they finally end up with PE.
Yeah.
And they're like, ah, well, it's summer.
As a former PE teacher, I could say that's barely a class.
All right. So today, in the theme of summer, of course, we picked music albums that were sung by a celebrity that did not come from the music field.
Yeah, non-musician.
Stress on that for sure.
Yeah. Like English is the second language. This is music as a second career.
The whole idea of this can sort of be, you see it all the time with musicians that become actors. That's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elvis, or did the Beatles movies count as movies?
Mm-hmm.
Or were those just like extended?
No, those
are
like
videos?
Real movies. They had like,
because I didn't see them.
Richard Lester directed Hard Day's Night.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
Like a,
now I know what you're talking. No,
famous guy.
Just because you maybe said his name right, which I really doubt you did.
We'll have
Richard Linkletter. That's a person.
We'll have an intern look it up.
All right.
During one of the breaks.
So it's very common where people become actors, but it's less common for someone to become a singer or songwriter, especially if that involves playing an instrument. I think that musical talent's one of those things that you need a base to start on, and then you can build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a good teacher.
Yeah.
I do not think that everybody starts with the same base level. For instance, I don't have a lot of musical talent, and I don't think I ever will. I think I could pay for singing lessons, and I wouldn't be god awful, but there's a certain level of education that you need
know.
To.
I guess I kind of disagree with that.
But you have some musical talent.
Well, I think, I mean, if you took piano lessons, you could get really good at the piano if you.
I don't
if
think
you,
that's true.
I think you could. There's like an old adage with athletes, like all athletes want to be rappers and all rappers want to be athletes. That's just like something that like has gotten thrown around in like the hip-hop world. Like there's always like, you know, like Shaq rapped and actually
right.
had made a lot of money off his albums.
Is that right?
He had like a lot. He had several albums that came out, like more than three.
Whoa!
And they all sold really well.
Wow!
Which is surprising because I own two of them growing up. But like,
so you're part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm contributing to the issue. But I think that an athlete with coaching and training could become a semi-passable musician, and it would be impossible for it to be the other way around. It'd be impossible for like a singer to, you know, go to, you know, get a trainer or something and then go play professional basketball or
what
something.
What about
like
Steven Tyler learning to ski? Do you think that's possible?
Because
it didn't work for Sonny Bono. He's dead. So
rest in peace, man.
Yeah,
that's how we got the whiskey out, man.
pour it out for my fallen brethren.
Pour it on your hardwood floor. Here, but
that's how you cure it.
Could Steven Tyler ski? Man, that's like a question of the universe.
Oh, no.
That's right up there.
Sorry, that wasn't the intention.
I think he could. I think he'd be a decent skier if he actually gave a crap and tried.
But see, skiing's a very tough sport, I would assume.
I mean, he's semi-athletic.
Right?
He kind of runs around and jumps around. And
you're thinking of David Lee Roth again.
Ah! Best front man in the history of music.
Sang that song, Jump, remember?
Yep, he did, and he jumped really high.
Yeah.
Also knocked himself out with, like, a katana on stage once. Like, knocked himself out cold. Or a bow staff or something like that. I don't know why he feels inclined to show off his martial arts skills.
No, I don't
so
think he
much.
Has any. That's probably the issue.
But
Okay, so let's...
That's another crossover, right?
Sounds
there.
Like we did a great job of introducing the subject. It. So we're going to just go ahead and jump into the two albums we chose. We did Be a Man by Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm-hmm. The great Hall of Fame professional wrestler.
Just recently passed away, so we're going to try and stay as respectful as we can. But, I mean, he did...
We'll pour one out for Randy.
And we're going to have to eat a Slim Jim.
Oh, yeah! Snap into it!
We did some research before we started listening to the... Well, before we did the podcast.
Research was done.
I didn't do any research before I listened to the albums. I just downloaded them.
I did 30 years of watching wrestling as research for this podcast.
And that one season... Oh, yeah.
And the Paris Hilton sex tape. It's research!
Mom!
Grandma!
Sorry, I'm using your browser.
I gotta put it on the big screen. It's research. I got a podcast coming up. It's not a very good sex tape, though.
We gotta get back to on topic.
It's not. We're gonna talk about it eventually.
Yeah, when we get to her. We're still on Macho Man over here.
The Nacho Man.
Nacho Man. So, a little background about this album, Be a Man. It is the only studio album. Mm-hmm. By him. Apparently his first name is Randall. His last name is Poffo.
Poffo. Yeah.
Okay. It came out in 2003, released by Big Three Records, which he makes a mention of. And all of the instruments that were recorded were by Thomas Hale, which is on the Wikipedia page. There is no...
There's nothing about this anywhere.
I went to all of the further research or further reference and do more research on the bottom of this page, and it was just like reviews by like somebody on their like GeoCities page.
Yeah,
it was,
somebody needs to beef up the Wikipedia. So if you're listening to it, and you out of respect of Macho Man,
14 years ago isn't that long for something to have like
you
an established
somebody, especially with the amount of pro wrestling fans out there, somebody would have gotten on there and done something.
Right.
It's just the track listing. That's all it is.
Right. The thing is, what this album hinted at was that there was a reason he put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me being flippant, of course. I mean, he put it out for publicity's sake and because he wanted to rap. And, you know, it sounded like he kept talking about he's back. So this is sort of, you know, to put a shot in the arm of his career. But it just seems so... It seems like there's a narrative that I should know about as to why he thought it would be a great idea to make a rap CD.
From what I read is that he was... The thing about being a pro wrestler is that you have these fans from all different walks of life that you don't... Sometimes you're kind of surprised by people who are wrestling fans. For example, our current president is a...
In July, he might be impeached.
Okay, so...
Sorry, guys, getting a little political.
As of when this is recorded...
Sorry, guys, getting a little political.
Yeah, actually hosted 2 WrestleManias at his hotel in Atlantic City.
That's crazy.
It's actually referenced in one of the songs. He talks about Trump...
Go Trump Plaza and WrestleMania 4, or something like that.
There was a lot of facts, a lot of...
I think it's when Macho Man actually won his first championship. At
WrestleMania?
Trump, yeah, at WrestleMania 4, I think. Okay. Which was at... they did, back-to-back ones at the Trump Casino in Atlantic City. And the Trumps are good friends with the McMahons.
Oh. And
Linda McMahon, Vince McMahon's wife, is actually on some committee of Donald Trump.
Oh, like an actual...
Like an actual job.
Wait, like now that he's president? Like director of agriculture or something?
No, it's like small business.
Oh my God, that's like an important one.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like something just tucked, you know, how you give your uncle a job when you become really important and just like, here you go.
So, I mean, that just goes to show you that there's a lot of people that are fans of wrestling. I think the story that I read about this was that he was at his gym or something, and then a friend of a friend came in who happened to be a record producer. And,
oh, cool.
You know, Randy was talking about how big of a music fan he was, but he couldn't sing.
Okay.
He had always been a huge fan of music, but he never could sing.
Which is you wouldn't expect somebody who's a professional wrestler, who's in, his job is to amp other people up about him.
Uh-huh.
It just seems very down to earth for him to be like, hey, there's something I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
I think that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, when the fact that, you know, famous rappers making millions of dollars, but they
just want a ball.
In a second, they would, you know, take the league minimum to go play in the NBA and sit on the bench, you know, just to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, athletes are, you know, making $20 million a year.
Right.
In a second, right, they would, you know, give up months of their lives to right, cut a crappy,
yeah,
album, you know, however shitty it was.
Right. So he's in his gym.
Yeah.
His record producer comes in.
And they said, well, you know, if you can't sing, but you could rap. And then they end up just like going, they like, let's just go to the studio.
I could
right
just imagine
the street,
that
and
there's like a racist joke that's, you know, spent out at this point where, yeah, they're just like, you know, and then they're like so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, if this is in the early 90s, you know,
mm-hmm,
there was a lot of bad rap back then.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Flavor Flav can do it. You can do it.
Yeah. And Flavor Flav actually
became a wrestler. It's called the Clock Man.
World champion. There was a song on there that kind of reminded me of Flavor Flav because Macho wasn't rapping that much,
yeah,
on it, and he was
right,
kind of just doing the, ooh, yeah,
right,
yeah, which kind of reminded me of, yeah,
yeah,
boy!
Chucky D! That's my boy!
Yeah. Macho did more rapping on this album than Flavor Flav has done in his whole career.
And who's the better hype man? Still better.
It's kind of hard to argue. You know, who the better hype. If that's, you know, the real story, I guess as simple as that.
I guess that's why it's not on the Wikipedia page, is because he's just like, hey, can I do it? And this guy's like,
yeah. Yeah, man, I guess.
that's boring shit, you're right.
I guess. But apparently that's how it kind of came together, and both listened to it,
yeah,
and we were both
pleasantly surprised. Because, again, I have to reiterate, we don't intentionally pick bad stuff, but we are disappointed often. So every time...
I was thinking about that.
I don't know if my palate's
you
just broke.
You always say that.
My palate might be broken. Because, like, I was listening and I'm, you know, I don't want to find redeeming qualities because I don't think that would be fair. But I'm just like, you know, this isn't bad. You know what? It's not bad.
You always say that, and then we always end up watching, like, Tremors 42.
Okay.
Or something like
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure you picked the fifth installment.
Dude, I did. Because I'm a glutton for punishment. I hate myself. I feel like I'm a terrible person that I should be punished. That God's not punishing me enough.
So
I have to take it.
I have to watch Tremors 5
and then talk about it for 3 hours and throw it out there,
yeah,
onto the internet so that everybody can share in my pain.
In our defense, it is free on the internet, so we're not making people pay for it. So
nope.
All right. So I had a real tough time finding any facts about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that he makes reference to like the background vocals and all the instrumentation. He talks about the Rascals.
Mm-hmm.
It's DA RAS RAS Skulls. So it's like, instead of you rascal?
Yeah.
It's Rascals, which is way more hardcore.
That's tough.
And he went on tour and was promoting his album in a concert that featured Bryan Adams as his bodyguard and Ron Harris as touring manager.
Okay, so Bryan Adams is not the crooner from Canada.
Okay. There's also a Ryan Adams who I know is not,
yeah,
the same person.
That's actually a wrestler. There's a
Bryan Adams.
Bryan, yeah.
Because when
you know it's true.
Right. That'd be great. So this is kind of, I wonder if this fact's in there just to like confuse people like me.
Yeah.
Because it worked.
Yeah.
I brought it up because I thought it was noteworthy.
Yeah, he was kind of just a shitty wrestler that I remember. Because I always laughed like in the 90s when they'd say, Bryan Adams is coming up. I'm like, I don't know, man. You better bulk up.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, so I think Ron Harris is a wrestler, too.
Okay.
So.
And then it said that while he was touring, he kept telling people, we are absolutely going to have more records. And then the article followed up with, however, no further albums were released. I'm like, you know, you don't need to do that. I mean, time will tell.
Yeah. I heard he had some health issues. you know, he died fairly young. He was not even 60.
58.
And he had a heart attack while he was driving.
But we didn't know he had a heart attack until the posthumous...
the autopsy.
Yeah. And they said it was his heart was 90% blocked. Yeah. One of the arteries was 90% blocked. And they said that he never knew he had heart issues, which is even sadder.
Which is usually... I mean, a lot of these guys, a lot of these wrestlers that die young... that from heart attacks and they're in, you know, you see them, you're like, oh my God, he's in such good shape. How does he have a heart attack? And the guy, I was telling you about the guy walking down the street today with the beer gut, smoking a dart, and he had a t-shirt on that said Peak Nutrition.
At least he was walking though, right?
Yeah.
Cutting down those LBs way.
But he was immediately canceling out any physical benefit by sucking on that cancer stick.
While losing weight, he was gaining plaque, which is not the good kind.
But you see these guys like, you know, like 40 years old and they're like, you know, got, you know, huge muscles and they look fantastic and they have heart attacks. And it's usually because of steroids.
Right.
Because, you know, steroids make, you know, all your muscles grow.
Right.
Including your heart.
Right.
And the heart's not supposed to get bigger.
It is definitely an organ. Should not be growing.
It should not be growing. And then, you know, that's how guys like that are having heart attacks. Yeah. And I think he was a guy, you know, who came up in the 80s, which was the steroid heyday of professional wrestling.
Most drugs came around.
Yeah.
Like the availability and the cheapness and the danger just... It had a perfect storm.
People
weren't
really smoking pot anymore.
Right.
Everything was a lot harder. And, so I think he was having, even before that, though, he was having issues because apparently he had lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that was related to, but apparently he had trimmed down significantly. People had seen him. Because on the cover of the album, he looked like real jacked up.
Yeah.
Like he looked...
Yeah, 2003 and he just passed away in 2015, 2016.
I think it was earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was several years ago. He was having, and that could have contributed to, the reason I brought that up is that might have been why he didn't do anything after that. He was just kind of...
Recovering,
and I think he kind of got his shit together before he... passed away. He like ended up marrying his high school sweetheart, you know, that he had, you know, disconnected with like for like 30 years or something like that, and you know, kind of squashed some of the beefs that he had with people.
They mentioned that too. Yeah.
Because the title Be a Man,
not from Mulan.
No.
Which I'm just like, all right, crossover hit, now we're talking.
Is reference to the song Be a Man, which is all about how much of a pussy Hulk Hogan is.
Which didn't see it coming.
No.
And you see the I'm gonna post a video of the cover. It is him holding on to some chains.
Yeah.
And he's wearing what I could only call a leather vest.
Yeah.
Because he's not wearing a leather shirt because it's sort of like a midriff cut.
He's got to show off the abs.
And he's got sunglasses and a do-rag on.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what words I want to put with this picture? Be a man. I want to do that. I would just say, that guy's probably a man. That's what I'm just like.
It's like the personification.
Like,
of
why are you wearing a leather vest and no shirt, bro?
It's like, you gonna tell me not to?
But, so.
Not a lot of people can pull that look.
I don't think he did.
But I think he did.
Mulan references aside, this was a kick-ass song. Like, he came in hot. He was throwing some serious disses at Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh.
And you know they stung. He was talking shit on, what's the movie that he made reference to where he's wearing the tutu?
Mr. Nanny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he talks about...
You'd be a ballerina, Hulk!
Right. He talks about, he's like, you're in a tutu, and all your movies go straight to video.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, he said, I saw you as a ballerina. I knew you had tendencies like that. You know, basically, you know, calling him homosexual.
Right, which is hurtful.
It is.
But it's something that every rapper does.
It
That's
does,
the only way
yeah.
they cut down each other.
It's like, well, you're gay.
Right.
So
I hope your feelings get hurt. but when he was making fun of him for being in movies, and he never called him a sellout, but he's just like, all your movies are bad.
Yeah,
that's his insult.
Yeah, you call yourself Hollywood Hogan.
Right.
with your straight to video.
And then he's like, hey, I don't know if you heard, I'm going to be in Spider-Man.
I was in Spider-Man.
And I'm like, did he just talk about Bonesaw? Because yep. I didn't think... Like,
that
I,
was a big get for him, man.
That, it really was. Everybody's like, wait, I remember him.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, and he was huge in that movie, too. Yeah,
he was enormous.
Yeah, that was like...
He got beat by a superhero.
That was
so
not
that's good.
Like, you know, agile, jumping off the top rope, svelte Randy Savage. That was bodybuilder
right.
Randy. He talked about Hulk Hogan doing, like, the 1-800 collect commercials. You remember 1-800-COLLECT?
It's like you're doing phone commercials. It's like, dude, you're doing Slim Jim commercials.
So the thing is, like, these guys used to be really good friends.
Oh, because everything I was reading was that they hated each
other.
Like,
they used to be, like, really good friends. Like,
so
really close.
Was
like,
their rivalry just, like, Vince McMahon's fabrication then?
Yeah, because that, I mean, it was such a, they were the two biggest stars at the time in the mid-80s.
Right.
And so you put them against each other, you know, you have them as friends on TV and then you put them against each other and that's, you know, basic wrestling storytelling.
Right.
And, you know, they had that WrestleMania 5 where they, had their first big, you know, WrestleMania match and, you know, at, the Trump Casino, and it was you know, one of the, like, when I was a kid, that was like the biggest thing ever. It was like, it doesn't get any bigger than this.
Right.
And even to this point, it really didn't get much bigger than that because they were just so, these like larger than life characters. And to the, but they were really good friends away from,
yeah,
you know, off of TV, even to the point where years later, when Hulk Hogan went to WCW, he helped Macho Man get the job with WCW. You know, he like talked him up and brought him over. And the beef in this that was referenced in this song and on this album, I found, and it's kind of hard to tell because, you know, we get like Hogan's side of the story because he's the one that's alive, but apparently it came from. Do you remember Miss Elizabeth?
No.
It was like Macho Man's wife.
Okay.
It was like his real life wife, but she was like his manager on TV.
Okay.
And apparently he was like super protective of her. Like he would lock her like in bathrooms. And
oh, that's not protective.
Locker
that's
room. Yes. So like she couldn't like talk to other guys because he was worried about her cheating on him and stuff like that. He didn't want other guys looking at him.
Yipes.
But... like, they were, that little family was good friends with Hulk Hogan and his wife. And, you know, he would have security guards walk around with him so nobody would, you know, talk to her or look at her or anything. And she got kind of tired of that, and she went on vacation with Hulk Hogan and his wife.
Okay.
So the three of them. And apparently Hulk Hogan's wife was trying to encourage her to divorce Randy Savage, and so Randy kind of blamed Hulk because of that. Apparently this is when he was filming Mr. Nanny.
Dynamite.
So, so
plenty of ammo on Randy's
there was,
side,
there was
too.
a lot of alone time between Hulk's wife and Randy's wife. And,
right.
Randy kind of blamed Hulk for a lot of that. And years, they kind of buried that, and then years later when they were in WCW, Randy had met a different girl who he kind of brought in and was like training her to be a wrestler. And he kind of blamed Hulk Hogan for getting her another job with a different promotion. And he had kind of hated him ever since because that kind of led to her leaving him. So I just think there was, I don't know, man. It just seems like in that environment, it'd be, when you want to be the alpha, especially, it's kind of hard to maintain friendships, you know, so to speak. So apparently that's where all the drama came from. I guess we won't ever know for sure because, Randy passed away a few years ago. But, you know, he really goes at him.
Yeah.
He really goes at him here.
And it's also, it seems like the sort of stuff that a wrestler would do in sort of to get a match going. Cause he just keeps saying, he's like, hey, we had a charity event and you didn't show up.
Right.
Like
that was the other thing.
I keep asking you to do these matches so we could just see who's better, and you keep backing down.
Right. So apparently he kind of got tired of it and challenged Hulk to a real fight. And it was going to be for charity.
Nice.
And it was going to be for like some children's hospital in Florida.
Something dumb.
And they were going to make, you know, a ton of money off of like merchandising and tickets and pay-per-views and stuff like that. And Hulk didn't want to do it. You know, I wouldn't want to fight anybody either.
Right, especially because you know that, like, they're both at the point where physical fitness is not what they're, you know, they're sort of resting on their laurels on purpose.
They don't need to be, you know, getting into real fights.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's busy doing, you know, Three Ninjas 2.
Four.
No,
six.
It was like, I think it was the second one. Mountain. Was that the third one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yipes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not never seen it.
I saw the first one. can't get worse than that.
He did Mr. Nanny, he had Suburban Commando.
God. They didn't even give him good movies.
Santa with Muscles.
See, that's the thing. The Rock came in strong with Scorpion King.
Yeah, he got into
it. Came in real strong. Yeah.
Well, Hulk Hogan was in Rocky 3. That was his big thing.
See, I don't even remember that.
That was actually like kind of what put him on the map.
As a Hollywood?
As a mainstream
okay.
guy. And then after that, like the whole Hulkamania thing blew up. Like they talk about this charity event that he didn't want to do, and then there was something I read too, and you had to really kind of listen to it. Apparently, Randy said that Hulk called Randy's dad and like cussed him out about something.
Oh no!
And they mentioned that in the song. He said, "So you called my dad, and now you're gonna get your butt kicked."
Yeah.
He never says ass.
No, it's always butt kick.
But yeah.
Sonically, it's better.
Kick your butt and put you in check.
That's nonsense.
Yeah. But, and Randy's dad was a famous wrestler, too, Angelo Poffo.
This is his original manager, according
back
to Wikipedia.
In the day, yeah. And his brother, Lanny Poffo, was a wrestler. And actually, when Macho went into the Hall of Fame a couple years ago after he had passed, which kind of sucked because it was posthumously,
right.
His brother's the one who accepted for him. But he actually got, you know, didn't go into the Hall of Fame for years because there was a rumor that he had hooked up with an underage Stephanie McMahon.
Oh no!
When he was still in WWE.
That's bad news.
Uh-huh. So apparently there was that rumor floating around, and that was the reason why he was never welcomed back into WWE and why he was never put in the Hall of Fame until after he passed away.
Did they ever just ask Stephanie McMahon? Because, I mean, that'd be pretty...
I think
right?
It's pretty much accepted that it happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah. So, you know, he's lived a life, man.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing you can find out about your heroes is that they're human, because then you find out that they do terrible things.
Yep.
Sad stuff. So, speaking of heroes, let's talk about Paris Hilton's album Paris. This album, Paris, by Paris Hilton, is the debut studio album. She had a handful of singles that came out afterwards. This is what Wikipedia deems her, an American media personality, actress, and singer.
And a goddamn hero.
So this came out 2006, so these are pretty close, just about for 3 years apart.
There's less chains on the cover of her album.
Right, a lot more gold.
Yeah.
Like very shiny gold dresses.
Yeah.
Singular. So the entire album was posted on AOL Music.
Remember AOL?
No, I don't. About a week before, or 8 days before the scheduled release date. So, I mean, I don't know what that means. What do you think that means? So is this just like...
So it was, like, available for download before the CD was in stores?
Could you download stuff in 2006? I don't know.
God, I don't know. Could, like, AOL, especially on dial-up?
Well, I think I was just, when's 2006? No, yeah. I was using LimeWire in 2004, breaking my mom's computer, so you could definitely download a whole
album. Also known as VirusWire. Download your favorite music and your favorite viruses.
So they called this a pop and R&B album that is influenced by hip-hop, which just sounds like a bunch of gibberish. Why don't you just call it a pop album?
Mm-hmm.
Are those different things at this point? Okay.
I think they just didn't know what to call it.
You ready for
what do we call it?
You ready for this next sentence? It also incorporates elements of other genres, such as reggae, soul, and pop punk. That's not true, man.
Just call it alternative if you don't know what it's called.
Yeah, she has to wear, like, plaid or flannel.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently she announced this album 3 years prior in 2003.
3 years.
On her reality television show, The Simple Life, I saw two episodes of.
That's hot.
Yeah, I think she coined that phrase.
That's hot.
That's it. You did it. So apparently in 2004 she was going to start her own record label called Heiress Records, because I don't think any other company would pick her up, so she's just like,
well, fuck it, I'm just gonna start my own label.
Yeah, turns out I could just have Daddy do it. Uh-huh. So
like, I'm not good enough to play for the team, start my own team.
So talking about beef, do you remember who Hayley Duff is?
I do.
Okay, so she,
Hillary's sister.
Good. I think it's our older sister.
Yeah, I think so,
right,
too.
She was the one in Napoleon Dynamite, if you remember that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hayley Duff told everybody that the song Screwed, which is, I think, was a single, which is also just not a good song. She said that it was intended, Hayley Duff was supposed to record it and be the first single on her debut album, which was later canceled. So I don't know why this is a thing.
Nobody wanted Hayley Duff.
A legal battle ensued, and Paris won because she has more money.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read about the promotion stuff on the Wikipedia page. This is pretty good. So during the first week of the album's release,
I just watched the sex tape. If it wasn't on the sex tape, I don't know about
this
it.
This is in the deleted scenes.
the director's commentary.
Yeah. So at this time, so they talk about the street artist Banksy. You know who Banksy is?
I do know who Banksy is.
He took 500 copies of her album from 48 record shops across the UK, which I just...
How does he even get access?
He stole them. He's just a thief. That's what street artist means. You're a thief.
Yeah.
So he replaced him with his own alternative version of the song, and he reworked it in it was a series of remixes that he did with DJ Danger Mouse.
Ooh, I know Danger Mouse.
Right? It was Gnarls Barkley, and it did the Gray album, which is Jay-Z's Black album and Beatles' White album. So, get ready for this one. He really skewered her hard. The track list contains satire song titles such as Why Am I Famous?, What Have I Done?, and What Am I For? He also changed the cover sleeve and booklet to display pictures of the singer topless.
He's not the only one who skewered her.
Oh, sex tape reference. Yeah. Nice. So, here's the thing. I didn't know this was a CD that ever existed.
Uh-huh. Did you the favor of...
Bringing it up.
Yeah. And the Macho Man one, so...
I think I brought up Paris Hilton.
Did you?
Who the hell knows?
All right. Cool.
Nah, we could easily solve this one.
Yeah, I was probably just talking about the sex tape.
Yeah. You're like, hey, can we do famous sex tapes?
Yeah, famous sex tapes.
I don't think I'm comfortable with that, dude.
No, there's not a lot of good ones.
Define famous.
I don't know. There's not a lot of good ones. Like, just, you know, I like production value.
I don't think you do.
And there's just not a lot of production value.
The only thing I knew about Paris Hilton was that, like, this whole Simple Life thing, where it's like, she's just famous person who wanted to do, like, got... She's super rich and wanted to become famous, so she just acted really stupid.
Yeah, famous for being famous.
And then you, like, find out later that she was very, like, entrepreneurial and, like, very business savvy. Like, her coining the phrase, that's hot.
That's hot.
Was intentional. And everybody talking about how much they hate her still worked out pretty well because... And, like, this is just a series of events where she's like, I'm doing this. And then she was in, like, a handful of movies where she's no way considered the lead role. But her name was on the billing, and she got money for it, and people went to go see the movie because she was in it.
She was in one with Jason Mewes, I think.
I don't know who Jason
Mewes
is.
Jay and Silent Bob. Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
What movie could they be in?
It was in some shitty direct-to-video movie, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Her and Hulk Hogan, am I right?
Speaking of sex tapes, Hulk Hogan's got one.
Yeah. He's not a great guy.
God, everybody's got one, man. Yeah, he's a huge racist.
He probably comes up constantly in the video.
You were talking like for no reason. There's no context.
He's like,
there's no context.
After this, I'm gonna go to a Klan meeting. Like, yeah. Come on, Hogan. Like,
why would you say
come
that?
On.
Like,
gross.
Man, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like,
hungry for racism. You're like, come on.
Hungry to kill some people of another color.
He's like, you know what? I don't respect other people's cultures. Yep. Like, this guy sucks. I remember I had his action figure. This guy sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
He was at a rough point in his life.
No, man, he was always a racist. You don't accidentally become a racist.
Yeah.
You just get called out because all of a sudden you get... You say the right thing in front of the wrong person.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, wait. Nope. He was always saying that. He didn't give a shit. Yeah. He just became not famous enough for it to become news.
Yeah. I guess I just don't want to believe it.
Dude, he's bleach blonde mustache.
Yeah.
You knew he was racist from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't? Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And now he's dead. So.
Yeah. So there goes to show you.
There he goes.
You know, if you're a racist, you live forever.
And you get to have sex tapes.
Huh. Yeah, he had his sex tape was with...
It's like his best friend's wife.
Yeah, his best friend is a radio shock jock down in Florida named Bubba the Love Sponge. Put your drink down.
Bubba might have had this one coming.
Yeah. Yeah, his wife had it coming.
Gross.
From the Hulkster.
Gross. Yeah, that's going to be the worst.
To get it from the Hogan?
Yeah, man. He's probably just like the whole time just like trying to convince you how strong he is. You're like, I get it. I get it. God.
Let me tell you something, brother.
No.
I hate black people.
Like, I knew it.
What you gonna do?
Like, this is gross. I don't like this. All right, so those are the two albums we picked. We're going to
a lot of impersonations today.
They're so easy.
That's odd.
It sounded like you said that's odd.
That's odd.
So we're gonna come back with some criteria in just a moment. All right, now it's time to discuss our four criteria, and we can rate the two contenders against them. We started with re-listenability. We do this for every album. Contest, which one do you like more? Which one are you going to recommend to others? Then we talked about how comfortable was this person in the transition from their normal media to this brand new one. So we talked about...
Did they seem out of place, you know, like brutally out of place, or did they transition fairly smoothly to the new genre? Like, for example, like if I tried to cut a reggae album, I'm pretty sure it'd be pretty rough.
Yeah. It's whenever you listen to a professional athlete try to do an advertisement for like a local business.
Oh God!
And
it's brutal.
I don't think they've read out loud before.
Right, and they're thinking you're an adult, you should be able to do this.
And they said, "Well, you try to hit a fastball," and I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah, I gotcha.
Deal. I guess you.
I can't put the little straw in the fucking Capri Suns without shooting it like hitting the ceiling.
Right.
Like a Paris Hilton sex tape.
God.
Or a Hulk Hogan sex
tape. I'm sensing a trend here.
Mm-hmm.
Gross stuff.
Yep.
All right, so that's our second one. And then Dan mentioned the quality of their album in a specific genre. You want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. So if you put, regardless of who they were, if you just put the Randy Savage album in with everything else in the rap world that came out at the same time, how would it stack up? And then if you took the Paris Hilton album and you put it in the pop arena with everything else that came out around there, how would it stack up? Not as a celebrity
weirdo.
Yeah, not as a
situation.
Celebrity doing a music album, but in that particular genre, how would it actually stack up? Rather than comparing them against each other, comparing them against the genre that it's actually in.
And then our last one, it's going to be hard to describe, so we're just going to power through it. I mentioned how did this album improve the person's media persona. So definitely both of these were sort of like publicity stunts. There was no rhyme or reason for these people to create an album. There was no need in the market. So as a publicity stunt, which one was more successful in enhancing their artist's media persona or personality?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, because you gotta kind of think that they may have made these albums because they like music, but
right.
A general reason would be to, you know, get their name out there in another way. You know, like Paris Hilton's just an attention whore.
Whoa! Zing!
Yeah. And she will do anything and anyone in order to, you know, up her, you know, public persona.
Right.
You know, the fact that, you know, she became famous for being rich.
Right.
Which is kind of awesome when you think about it. That's the American, that's America, baby.
We did
you
it.
Know, we did it. You know, God bless America. And Randy Savage at that point, you know, had, you know, wasn't really in, you know, condition after beating up his body for so long to, you know, wrestle on a full-time schedule. So this was, you know, another way to kind of keep him, at least the goal, you know, keep right. him in the
public,
you know,
eye.
Public eye, the mainstream in a different format. So I think it'd be kind of interesting to discuss that.
I want to do re-listenability last,
okay.
just so we don't tip our hand. So which one do you want to start with, Dan?
Comfortable in New Media.
Okay.
I thought, for me, it was, it was kind of a toss-up. I didn't feel real strongly about either one, but I would probably give it to Paris.
Okay.
Because I think she had, it was a byproduct of her, she had a lot of help.
Oh, yeah.
We were kind of talking about that in between segments here, that, you know, she had like 37 producers on the album.
She surrounds herself with people who know what to do.
A lot of, like, really talented
yeah.
people. You know, people like...
Like Jadakiss.
Remember Jadakiss? But, you know, we were talking about, like, some of the producers, and these were guys that produced Katy Perry and Beyonce and Rihanna, and you can't get... In the music business, there's, you know, those are three of the biggest names.
Right.
You know, and if you can get people that produce them, I mean, you've really got kind of an advantage there. I think the fact that the producers on Randy's album were able to... I like the beats. The beats were good.
Right. Thanks
a lot,
the Rascals.
The Rascals.
Yeah. Wait, what did I... Oh, I said Rascals. Excuse me.
He said little Rascals, like Alfalfa and Buckwheat.
The He-Man Women Haters.
But I think that, you know, not to discredit them, but I think that producers on the Paris Hilton album are just on a whole nother plane of existence.
Yeah, because I think that she paid them... Like in hotels.
Sure.
She bought them hotels.
Yeah, here's a hotel in Dubai.
Right.
Thanks for producing my album. And I think that that helped her transition into the media a little bit better. And, you know, she's not a bad singer.
Here's the thing. First of all, I agree with you. And I also voted for her for
okay.
Comfortable in Media. Because the transition is so much more difficult for... Randy, because he's used to just talking in a gruff voice,
right?
And he sort of wavers out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where Paris is used to speaking in a high voice
mm-hmm.
and never falters.
Mm-hmm.
She is consistent across every single song.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the song is, no matter what the content, her voice is always the same.
And I think I saw one of the reviews I saw for the Randy Savage album were that... this is one of the things that made Randy cool when he would do his promos and stuff in wrestling is that he put a lot of emphasis on everything he said.
Right.
And he would take a one-syllable word and turn it into a two-syllable word.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something he could not do here.
I mean, he started to do it, and you realize that it was very bad.
It was hard for him to... For him, he was... He had to rap very fast.
Right.
For other rappers,
right.
it was like a normal speed.
Right.
I think that was one of the reviews that I read, is that, that's what they compared it to. They said that it was, for him, he felt like he was, like, trying to keep up,
right.
you know, like he's running a race and trying to keep up. And for, like, a regular rapper, that would be, like, you know, just like a lax
right.
speed. Not even somebody, you know, like, you know, Fabulous or something,
right.
like, something like that. It goes at a, you know, breakneck pace. So I think it was easier for her to make that transition into that new me, especially
Definitely.
With all the help she had.
Right.
And especially the fact that, you know, with Randy's voice, it's pretty much that's what he is. What you hear is what you get. You know, that's how he talks. You know, that's not like a voice he puts on like for his wrestling persona. He talks like that. Another review I read for the Paris Hilton album talked about how layered they made her voice.
Right.
And it said... And they were exaggerating when they said there's 50 Paris Hilton voices overlaid on top of each other.
It's way too many.
To make her sound, you know, the way she did. And they said, the idea that if you put enough cubic zirconia in one setting, perhaps it will sparkle like a diamond.
Oof, brutal. Also because she probably doesn't know what cubic zirconia is because she's...
That's hot.
Yeah, because it's so hot.
That's hot. So I think that having that ability to have her voice layered so much because of the high production value, I think that kind of pushed her over the edge between the two for me.
No, yeah, for sure. All right, let's go with quality in respective genre.
Okay.
So we're comparing Paris Hilton's to, I feel very comfortable calling it pop, mm-hmm. and I feel very comfortable calling it like club music.
Well, I mean, we mentioned some of the other.
I'm not going to call it reggae. I'm not going to call it soul.
What about
pop rock?
Pop rock reggae.
Oof.
Peggy.
Pegasus? Pegasus music. So I feel comfortable calling it those two. And she, like, was on some charts with this. Like, she released and she... And I don't think that's a good reference point because everybody's an idiot. And she probably just paid for that.
Sure.
And let's say comfortably, Randy Savage album should probably be considered, like, rap rock or, like, hip-hop rock.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not rock and roll.
No.
And it's definitely not hip-hop.
Yeah.
And you'd be crazy to call it rap.
You know, it reminded me a lot of, like, Run DMC.
I put it more comfortably with Limp Bizkit.
Okay. I can see that.
Because it's easy to identify, like, the electric guitar and the
That's why I thought about Run DMC, because they incorporated... They were one of the first rap groups that incorporated, like... you know, the rock and roll
especially
aspect, especially with the Aerosmith thing, the
crossover,
which like, you know, was
let them both
big,
up.
Yeah, was like one of the biggest, still one of the biggest, you know, crossover, you know, songs ever.
Still pretty good too.
Yeah, it's great, and I think that's what it kind of reminded me of, was that they were one of the first, you know, rap groups to say like, why can't we have an electric guitar in here with, you know, with a drum machine? Why can't we put, you know, some rock and roll in there? And they even, in one of the Randy Savage songs, they were talking about, rock and roll mixed with some hip-hop.
Yeah. I think it's Are You Ready?
Are You Ready?
I think that's, he's like, I gotta like this.
I gotta like it,
We're like, we know you do, big guy.
Gonna snap into a Slim Jim,
I like this. A little hip-hop mixed with a little bit of rock and roll. I'm ready to do this right now. Let's go.
I think Paris Hilton, compared to other pop singers of that time, I did not think she measured up.
I didn't think so either.
I gave it to Randy.
I did too.
Because you know who he was. I like some of his songs better than I liked Limp Bizkit, who was on the radio.
Sure.
And I think like Papa Roach is in that time period.
I mean, if you just think about some of the names we mentioned earlier, like the heavy hitters, the people that Paris is going against.
Yeah.
Katy Perry, Beyonce, Rihanna. Like not even in the same.
Right.
Like. Ballpark.
Right.
Like, couldn't even, like, be an opening act for one of them. Randy Savage? Could he open up for, like, you know, some hip-hop group? Or
I don't think he would do good in that venue.
Yeah.
I think he would... See, it's sort of like... rap has been... Rap and hip-hop have sort of been appropriated by all of the major, like, genres. Like, there's gospel rap. There's Christian rock rap. There's country rap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because people
shout
like...
Shout out to Cowboy Troy.
No. Take it back.
Nope.
Take it back.
Shout out to Cowboy Troy.
I'm going to edit the hell out of this.
Follow him on Twitter, at Cowboy Troy. I don't know if that's his real Twitter handle or not.
He's at The Real Cowboy Troy.
Oh,
because
yeah.
too many people took it. just because... So I think that a bunch of people who would watch wrestling, who like loud music... would be totally fine if somebody was rapping if it happened to be a white wrestler, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's a lot of convincing that needs to be done for people who he already has fans of to go and see him in concert or see him open for, you know, one of those bands that they would already go, like Mudvayne. They're like, oh, sweet, I'm already here.
Yeah.
You know, or, oh, I'm going to go see Stone Sour. Great. Randy's coming, too. This is a double, you know. That's great.
Yeah.
Where if somebody's like, hey, do you want to go see Paris Hilton? Like, who's her opener? And they're like, she paid Jadakiss. You're like, you know what? I'll sit this one out.
That one guy opened her.
God. I'm really losing some softball pitches right to you. Yep. That's on me. Sorry, audience. All right, so
don't apologize.
So we both agree. Why do you think that Paris had a, or why do you think Randy's was better?
Well, I mean, part of the reason is just competition and the fact that big rap fan. So I guess it's kind of hard. I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on rap, but I think it'd be kind of easier to do a decent rap album. I think like right now, if I made an album, I could probably, if I had producers and stuff like that, I could probably do a better rap album than a pop album.
See, I'm completely in the other camp.
Okay.
Just, I'm much more, like, I don't like as much popular rap as I do, like, I like popular pop more than I like popular rap. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
If you give me the top 10 of both Billboard charts, I'm going to like more songs on the popular pop one, where I'm just like, the popular rap, I'm like, oh, this is mumble rap, I don't like that at all. Or
it's rap that's like trying too hard to appeal to the masses.
Right.
And it kind of loses the edge of what rap really is.
I just think, I do think it's more difficult to rap. Like, because otherwise, you know, Marky Mark would still be around. You know what I mean?
Still's around, man. Still making that bank.
Not with rapping.
No.
And Milli Vanilli sucks. You know, Vanilla Ice is gone.
Milli Vanilli was not really a rap.
Maybe I'm talking about staying power rather than quality. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you're gonna stick around, you have to be better than get a one off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of depends. I mean, because there's a lot of rap acts that, you know, were, you know, around like in the 80s that still, you know, tour.
So I thought DJ Kool was terrible. Mm-hmm. Remember when he said, "Hey, say hey. Now say your name. Now say where you're from."
Say I am. Now say your name. Say where you come from. Now scream. Somebody say I am. Now say your name. Say where you come from. Now scream.
I see. I think I can do that album.
And that, no, but like the.
Say your shoe size.
And then the callback was just a bunch of noise because every single person
had something different to say.
Yeah.
Banana.
It's dumb, man.
Say your favorite fruit.
Avocado. Oh. Which
say your favorite super fruit.
Grapes.
Say your favorite brand of varnish.
Vermeer.
Grandmaster Flash and they used to do that a lot. Like, what's your birthday?
See, and that's bad.
What's your sign? What's your horoscope sign?
That's
Sagittarius.
That's bad music.
Yeah, it's not great. It doesn't hold up.
I don't know.
I think it. If I didn't know who Randy Savage was,
okay,
and he didn't constantly tell me who he was, like,
right,
then
which is inherent, like it's that has to happen on a rap album,
though. I wouldn't hate the album.
Right? I'm on board with you.
Like,
I agree
listen
with
to
you.
It, but like, all right, this sound like it. It sounds a lot like DMX. Like DMX, right. Like has had a very unique voice for rap. You know, he was like overly gruff, and then I think that kind of we were kind of talking about him and Ja Rule. You know how they kind of have you know had
similar
you know stakes in the rap game,
right.
And that made them unique. And I right. think that is you know something that you know he's not trying to sound like every other rapper. He's trying to sound like Randy Savage,
right.
whereas I think Paris Hilton is trying to sound like generic, poppy,
right.
like karaoke,
which I think
type poppy girl, which is not she doesn't sound bad.
I think she did that on purpose. I would if I were in her place, if I were trying to make a pop album, I'd definitely lean hard into that.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense.
Like ride the wave sort
to,
of thing.
Rather than being like really weird and unique and out there, just. Give people what they want.
Right.
You know, give them something that's, you know, very easily digestible and very low risk.
Yeah.
And I think, especially the fact that the album's only like 38 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know.
Right on time.
That's, you know, that's about
it's
right.
12 tracks,
that's,
too.
That sounds about right.
She even did a cover of the Rod Stewart number one song with
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know.
I don't know the words.
A lot of impressions on this show, man.
Yeah, it's to cover up for the lack of quality in most of this stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dana Carvey. Just do a lot of impressions to cover up the lack of quality.
But his impressions were good. It's just he, you know.
Not funny.
He's just a comedian who should have a writer, you know?
He's just a comedian who's not funny.
That's all. All right, so that was pretty easy. Let's go with which album improved the media persona of the artist the most. What do you think?
I think it's got to be Paris because...
It helped her push from TV star, movie star, mm-hmm. Now she could add singer.
I mean, she had, like, music videos and... I remember when the first single off this album came out, it was right before school let out that year because they were talking about, it's Paris Hilton, it's not an amazing song, but it's not bad, but yeah. It could be Song of the Summer.
Right.
And you know, that's always a big thing. Everybody wants to have the Song of the Summer,
right.
Quote unquote. And that's how big it was. It got a lot of attention for her, which she loves.
Yeah.
The first time I heard about the Randy Savage video was, or the Randy Savage album was, my brother and I were watching TV like really late at night and an infomercial for it came on.
That's bad.
An infomercial.
Makes me sad.
For the CD. Yeah. And you could probably find the infomercial like on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pause the podcast.
I'll put a link in
go
the
Go watch Tumblr. The infomercial. And it was, and we were like, what the hell is going on here? That's, why is he rapping? Why is
this
he...
Saturday Night Live? Is this a joke?
Exactly.
Is this a hilarious joke?
Exactly. And it was kind of like in the same vein of when, after O.J. Simpson killed all those people, and then he came out with that
Juiced. Yeah.
That was an infomercial.
There's an entire This American Life mm-hmm. episode dedicated to someone who worked on that.
If you don't know, Juice was like a punked. Like,
yeah, jackass, punked.
And it was OJ going around like dressing up in costumes and like juicing people.
Yeah.
Not in the form where he would make blood come from their body.
I mean, unless they didn't like the joke and they said, get out of here, and he punched him so hard.
Yeah, unless you were a pretty white lady.
You gotta watch out. That's what
or her lover. Yeah. In that case, you're dead.
Spoilers. I haven't gotten to the end of this show yet.
Speaking of which, I saw Cato Kaelin at non sequitur here. Saw Cato Kaelin recently at the Comic-Con here.
What's he up to? Was he signing pictures?
I saw him.
Was he in cosplay?
My brother saw him first, and I thought it was just a guy that looked like Cato Kaelin.
Yipes. That's some bad cosplay.
Turns out it was really him, he was like hosting like events throughout the weekend, like the costume show and stuff like that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Still doing good.
Sounds like he should just go to rehab.
For him,
stop
man,
buying drugs, man.
To go from living in a murderer's pool house to, you know.
To now what?
Yeah, maybe it is better to be a murderer's friend.
Hey, it's a pool house, man. It's not bad. That's nothing to sneeze
that's
at.
Not bad. You just got to ignore all the murder that's happening around you.
Just the two.
Like, see no evil, hear no evil.
Live in the pool house forever.
So, sorry about the tangent, the Cato Kaelin tangent. But
I think it was pretty fluid.
I feel we're an entertainment.
Oh, I don't feel that.
Show.
Oh, no.
And I feel like we got to get the people what they want, and that's murder and Cato Kaelin.
And Paris Hilton sex tape references.
Yeah, man.
All right, now we're up to re-listenability. I gave mine to Randy.
You gave Paris the
media persona. Okay. Yeah. Because I thought it was just a logical step for her to become wouldn't it be a triple threat? But, I mean, that's the lot. She just moves into a new genre, conquers it, moves on.
A triple threat.
But, you know, that's what people
like,
reference.
I always thought the triple threat was, like, singing, dancing, and acting.
Yeah.
Like John Travolta.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But now, apparently, it's rich.
No, it's...
Pretty.
It's TV, movie, music. Although, now you can throw in YouTube in there, which kind of sucks.
I guess.
I'm just telling you
the triple
what's up.
Threats are rich, sex tape, and...
And trendsetter. That's it.
I'm not rich. I don't have a sex tape, and I'm not. So I'm a zero threat.
Yeah.
So
that's why we're trying to.
F me.
That's why we're doing podcasts. This is the lowest tier,
mm-hmm.
and we haven't conquered it yet.
Well, once we get that,
then we can move up to
sex tips.
There you go. The logical
progression.
We just got 40 subscribers.
By accident.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna say Paris Hilton sex tape, click here. Right. And then it's just gonna be
clickbait. Stupid. Counts as a download.
Yep, got him.
By the way, now your computer's probably infected.
Yep.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Download the podcast, get a virus for free.
Malware Bytes is free. You can download that.
So Randy, listenability.
I
think so too.
I enjoyed some of the songs. Mm-hmm. Like wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I read a review on it that kind of put it, that really said it well, which is like not what I'm doing right now. He don't no good speak like you and me. It said, he was talking about that Are You Ready song, which is one of the first songs on the album. It says, while not the best rap song, it's at least funny. It's still pretty repetitive though, so I can only give it a 7 out of 10 on the cheese scale. And then when he kind of wraps it up, he says, for quality, he gave it a 1 out of 10.
Oof.
But for funny, kind of quirky, cheesy, he gave it a 7 out of 10. So that, he goes, it's at least worth listening to, or if you could buy it cheap. He said, don't pay over $10 for it.
I didn't.
Me neither.
Nice. Perfect.
So sorry, Estate of Macho Man. We didn't pay for the album.
God,
just like nobody's paying for this podcast.
Oh, and never will.
And never will.
That's just...
Even if we charge for it,
oh, they won't.
Nobody would pay for it.
I think the issue with every single song from Paris Hilton was the exact same.
Pretty much.
The music started a certain way, and then her vocals came in, and then there was a predictable chorus, like uninspired lyrics, and then it would sort of end. And then it would go directly into, almost without skipping a beat, it sounded like it was on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so listening to it once wasn't a big deal, but, I mean, you couldn't get anything new out of it. Where listening to some of Randy Savage's stuff, like that Mr. Perfect song, was, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good. It was pretty good.
Shout out to another dead wrestler.
He just sort of covered the whole, like, hip-hop... you know, genre.
Yeah.
He did the thing where he talked about, like, how cool he was. You know, he called out Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, talked about when he was in the club.
Yeah.
And then he, like, talks about, you know, somebody who was important to him who's dead.
It really was kind of like a paint-by-numbers rap album.
Mm-hmm.
Where they say, well, we got to have a song where we're dissing somebody.
Right.
We got to have a song where, like, we're, like, remembering a dead friend.
Right.
We got to have a song where we got some bitches in the back that are singing... tight hooks.
Like, why? And then, like, he talks about he's in the club and he's like, and there's a girl who's 5 foot. And you're like, what?
Uh-huh.
God, that's very short, Randy.
You gotta have the song that shows your sensitive side where he was talking about, like,
he's making gonna take
love.
Care of her.
Yeah, making love. And
not, I'm gonna take care of you, not just.
Not like OJ took care of bitches.
Yeah, I don't think that was in there, but it was implied. It's definitely implied.
So I think it kind of, we gotta have all of these, you know, different. Representations of,
right.
of rap. Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Unbeknownst to us, we accidentally tied them.
Yeah, that sucks.
So should we talk... I mean, like, it seems like we're both saying that Randy Savage did a better job of creating an album.
So I would... if it were me...
It is you.
If I were me...
Okay. I'm following. Go ahead.
The whiskey's talking. If I were me in this situation,
if whiskey were me, for one second,
if I don't know good speak, I would say listen to it's not gonna hurt you to listen to both of them because neither one of them's awful,
right?
But if I was like saying like, hey man, you gotta just listen to this, it's cool. I would say the Randy Savage album.
I think he does a better job of it. Like, he did a one-off album.
Yeah.
And he covered all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, so I would say, like, variety of, we get to see the most of him in this album. Where
I think it's just kind of cool to hear him in that, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you, like, my mom's not a wrestling fan, she knows who Macho Man,
right.
you know, Randy Savage is.
Right.
A lot of people know who he is just from, like, the Slim Jim commercials
mm-hmm.
and everything, you know? I think it's at least a fun listen.
Yeah. Where Paris is kind of not fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, she's talking.
It's just, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not bad. It's not, like, unlistenable.
Yeah.
You know, she can sing a little bit. And it's well produced.
I don't think I would have, if it had never been made, we would be lost out on anything.
Yeah, I think the world is better for having the Macho Man's album.
Because of, like, that Hulk Hogan diss song was... Yeah. That's the world's a little better for that.
Yeah,
and
we needed that.
There's a Mr. Perfect tribute. How many rap albums can boast that? Probably 12.
I would say somewhere between 5 and 7.
Well, see, so 5 of them, yes, but then 2 of them are on the greatest hits, so you can't count
that.
That's
true.
Yeah.
So 6.
Oh, shoot. So anyway, so we're giving it to Randy, right?
Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah.
Listen to this album and be a man.
It's awesome.
Go carry some chains. I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, man.
Just go be a man, Mulan.
You're never going to be a man like he was, but you can at least listen to the album.
And enjoy it,
yeah,
like we did.
And ride on the coattails of it. I think the other thing is that Randy was kind of prophetic in the fact that he, you know, said all these shitty things about Hogan years before we found out he was a huge racist. Randy had it figured out, man.
Yeah. He's like, hey, by the way, I know he cheated on his wife with his best friend's wife.
Like, that hasn't even happened yet.
Right.
Are you magic, Macho Man Randy Savage?
And that's why he got taken away from us, because he was
right.
Magic.
And he was a wizard, and we know what happens to wizards.
So sad.
Society does not treat them well. So, yeah.
So
listen to the Macho Man album.
All right, we're going to come back with our favorite and least favorite songs, and then a recommendation. We're back, and we're going to talk about our favorite and least favorite songs from these two albums. Then we're going to jump right into our recommendation of a famous person who is not a singer who puts out a music album.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do our least favorite first. Let's get both least favorites out of the way. My least favorite on the album Paris was Turn You On, because... Tonight I'll be your liquid dream. They want a piece of what I got. Damn, she's sexy and she's shaking all on me. It's like, and she keeps doing this thing where she's like, you read my shit so loud. You can dance all night, but you ain't getting none. Sorry, I turned you on.
Take a cold shower when you. You're all about the message.
Yeah, man. She's literally singing words. Why can't those words be something that we're supposed to think? I don't know.
Yeah, who gives a shit, honestly?
Maybe that's my issue. That's got to be it.
My favorite song was...
Least favorite. We're doing least favorite
songs. Least favorite. It's probably the Rod Stewart cover.
Ooh, because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Good choice. Like, what's less inspired than having someone write an entire album for you? Doing a shitty cover.
Like, what's shittier than an overrated Rod Stewart song?
Paris
Hilton doing an overrated Rod Stewart song. I guess, I mean... That was the one that just kind of seemed like, oh, well, we got to put a song in here that people have heard before.
So you would say that it's not hot.
It's not hot.
Big old thumbs down on that
one.
All right.
So least favorite?
Least favorite was Macho Thing.
featuring AJ?
AJ? I don't know. It was so bad. Best show in town in the VIP. Ladies all around. Rascals and me about to put it down. Everybody's dancing, having a ball. Got their hands in the air. No one's on the wall. Saw a dime at the bar. Because, you know what I don't think is that Macho Man goes to clubs. Because of the things he said in this album.
Yeah.
We're just like, in the club center of attention. Me and my crew at the bar been pimping. Ladies point because they're interested. They step to us and put in their bid. And we don't mind because they're looking lovely. They want to chill because we're popping bubbly. This doesn't sound realistic.
No.
This is just like, talk about how strong you are.
This is the same guy that locked his wife in a...
Yeah.
In a locker room so she wouldn't look at any other guy.
Just the way he talks about women confuses me. To the point where I'm like, I don't like how you're using the word macho, because I don't think you know what it means.
Yeah. My least favorite track was Hit the Floor, which was the fourth track on the album, featuring DJ Kool with a K.
Yeah, that's the one I had a problem with.
I think part of that was the fact that it was... It should have been DJ Kool featuring Macho Man Randy Savage.
Because, you're on blast, DJ Kool!
Shit. Yeah, I'm not putting Macho Man on blast, man. No. God rest his soul. And he'd probably come back from the dead and whoop my ass.
I think someone could still kick... He could probably still kick my butt.
Probably. Yeah, I gotta say butt, because he said butt.
Thank you.
Sorry,
I appreciate that.
I won't say ass.
Anymore. Right.
But I thought he was just kind of the hype man on right. that song, and it wasn't... Rock the whole damn building. Yeah. Everybody on the right, come on. Get your hands in the air if you're ready for the night. You ain't taking everybody home. Now you can party by yourself and party all alone. All alone. I don't give a damn what you did before, just as long as you get your back behind up on the floor. Ooh, yeah. One time to be done. That's not why I wanted to hear the album. I don't want to hear, you know, Macho as a hype man. I want to hear him, you know, laying down sick flows, dog.
Right. Just cut one more track.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal.
Cover Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart.
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy, come on, baby, let me know.
You almost...
Yeah.
Dan has a vein in his neck. It's about to explode.
Dig it.
You got to do that on one breath.
I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd listen to that. That'd be better than, yeah. Okay, favorite songs.
Okay.
My favorite Paris song was Jealousy, because it seemed like the one that she had the most interest in singing about, because it wasn't about love, it was about how her friends are jealous of her, and that strains their relationship. And I'm like, you know what? This might be the most honest I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, I think the reason that we're not friends anymore is because I'm very successful and you want to have my life. And I'm like, ooh, probably hitting a little too close to home for some people, I'm sure.
So I kind of hate to be the mainstream guy, but my favorite song was the one that was like the first single, which is Stars Are Blind.
That wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's not a good song.
Yeah.
But
it's catchy.
It's better than some of her other stuff. That's my follow up for
sure. It's catchy. I read one review on it, says, which brings us to the Paris Hilton single Stars Are Blind, which is so lovely and decent, I want to stab out my eyeballs.
Oh, never in a million years would I say it's decent.
I think he's mad at the fact that it's not awful.
Why are you mad, bro?
He's like, well, fuck, I gotta stab my eyeballs out.
First of all, if you're gonna stab anything, stab your ears off.
And if you really want to punish yourself, do this podcast.
Or if you really want to punish yourself, listen to the album twice. That's what I did. I listened to it twice.
Not me. Fool me once.
You're like, I didn't listen
shame
to it
on
at all.
You. Fool me twice. Can't get fooled again. George W. Bush.
Your dog won't hunt. Man, we're getting really political. Were you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Now that would have been a good... Oh, what if Paris covered that? That'd be pretty
bad.
Better.
Yeah, it'd be alright.
Nah.
Like if she actually did the... It's hot.
Alright, so, favorite Macho Man Randy Savage album, song. What? What was your favorite song off the Macho Man's?
Again, I'm going to be the music snob here. I'm just going to go with the title track.
Oh, me too.
Be a Man.
100 times Be a Man.
Because... Fuck Hulk Hogan, right?
First of all, yeah. Hogan, Hollywood officer, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward. Second of all,
Bubba the Love Sponge's wife did.
She's like, you had me at that racist comment. Uh-huh. I liked Are You Ready, and I liked the Mr. Perfect song, but mm-hmm. Be a Man was sort of head and shoulders above. Like, it was sort of when it was the most comfortable he was as a rapper.
That's the... one he was most passionate about.
I'm pretty sure he was pretty passionate about that other song.
It was like going in the club and hitting on girls and
showing the groupies love.
Yeah, that's not probably what he's. But he's like, man, fuck Hulk Hogan.
Right.
He's like, now I'm ready.
Doing telephone commercials, I seen ya. Dancing and tight, there's a ballerina. I do wanna know you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from macho like I got a disease. Do please, your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on.
He's like, remember, you made fun of my dad?
Uh-huh.
I remember.
Uh-huh. Now everyone wouldn't fight me for that is. Children's charity.
Those kids died, yeah. Hulk!
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer on this
one. Hogan!
I'm just comfortable saying that that's both our favorites. That's
yeah.
All right, so we've wrapped all that up. Now on to our recommendation. This is... I did some research because the only thing I could think of was the Eddie Murphy Party All the Time.
My girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. God damn, that sounded good.
And that's why that shouldn't be our recommendation.
You said you didn't have musical talent, sir. You fucking liar. Because that sounded really good.
And that's why it shouldn't be our recommendation. And so I spent some time looking up stuff, and apparently Terrence Howard put out an album.
I heard it's pretty good.
And
haven't heard it, but
I listened to one track. And so now he's really popular for the show Empire, where he was an Atlanta rapper called Luscious. However, I knew him before he was in any of the Marvel movies because he did this movie called Hustle and Flow, where he plays an up-and-coming rapper and sort of like his story. And he did a good job in that movie, both as acting and, and his rapping.
Yeah.
And so I listened to the album, I listened to one song off the album he released. And it's sort of like a bad John Mayer impression, which is kind of disappointing. Not that, that he's a pretty good guitarist or that, he can sing, but I was really looking forward to a Hustle and Flow album from him. And maybe that's, I'm trying to paint him too tight in a box.
That's on you, Doug.
So my recommendation after, is doing some research was, it's called Dead Man's Bones. And it's a rock duo consisting of actor Ryan Gosling and his friend Zach Shields.
Okay. I think I came across that. I didn't listen to it, but I think I came across the Ryan Gosling
project. It is sort
project.
Of... It's a concept album about...
Yeah, there it is.
Halloween. And for some reason, I give Halloween as a holiday a free pass for listening to that music outside of the season. Like, I hate listening to Christmas music outside of, like, 4 days before Christmas. And
you and my brother almost got into a fight over the fact that
the
George Michael Christmas
song. So
last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away.
God, so dumb. It's so dumb. Followed by, and apparently Taylor Swift covered it, and it's just as bad. So anyway, Halloween, for some reason, I just give it the pass for his out-of-season music. But this album's pretty good. We know that Ryan Gosling is... Well, we know now that Ryan Gosling's a talented musician and singer from La La Land, which haven't seen, no interest in seeing.
Yeah.
But I saw him in the movie Drive, and he can drive a
car. He was dope.
He can drive a car pretty good.
Drive the shit out of a car.
No, he just drove pretty good.
Sounds like something Aziz Ansari said. He can drive a car pretty good. Don't know about his singing.
But so, this is my highest recommendation, but I just sort of just leave it to the professionals, celebrities. Just like, if you're going to be a musician, just own that. And if you're going to be an actor, I guess produce something or just, sing backup. You don't have to jump a full album into it.
So I like being, I don't know if you feel the same way. I like watching a movie or a TV show and being pleasantly surprised by the fact that some of these actors aren't terrible singers.
I guess so. I kind of don't care. I don't know.
I don't know. I like, if you ever seen Joss Whedon, the Dr. Horrible's sing-along.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I like when you find out guys like Nathan Fillion aren't horrible singers.
Oh, you mean Castle.
Yeah, Castle.
John Castle.
I think it's kind of cool that, I kind of like that. I'm a sucker for big musical numbers.
That's true.
And Macho Man actually wrote a song about my heterosexuality.
Yeah, it's called Be a Man.
Yeah, it's called Be a Man, Dan!
Which is better than It's a Macho Thing.
Yeah.
Like,
that song is about Hulk Hogan and me, because we both like to wear tutus and listen to big musical numbers.
And all your movies go straight to video.
Every single one of my movies has gone straight to DVD. But I like that. I like when a TV show does like a musical episode or something
that's
like that.
That's true. I do like that.
That's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like being pleasantly surprised by that. The reason I said that is because I'm not a big fan of when they, say, well, I got to cut a whole fucking album now.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, I don't really need that. So I was looking at probably a lot of the same list that you were looking at. I saw that. You know, I know that, like, William Shatner does, like, his spoken word
stuff,
which is kind of quirky and interesting. I didn't know Crispin Glover
had an album. Yeah, saw that, too. Don't know what to think. Kind of don't want to know.
I didn't know that Clint Eastwood had an album.
I knew that because he did a whole musical called Paint Your Wagon.
Oh, okay.
I knew that from The Simpsons because Bart and Homer rent Paint Your Wagon, and they're like, you know what? I bet Clint Eastwood's going to paint that wagon with blood. And then they high five, and then the movie's just like starts with singing, and they're like, what the hell's going on?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I didn't know that Christopher Lee had an album.
Apparently, that's the bee's knees.
Like it's a heavy metal album.
And he talks about how he is from like Norway, and this is death metal. And
the closest thing that I knew that to music for him is that he was on the cover of Paul McCartney's with the Wings Band on the Run album.
That's weird.
Have you ever seen that album cover where they're looking like the spotlights on them, like, and they're all like escaped from prison or something like that.
Okay.
And they're all like caught off guard by the light. Christopher Lee is one of the people in the group for no reason.
That's crazy.
I don't know why. Rest in peace, Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
But when he was in his 80s, he was cutting fucking metal albums.
Of course.
So I didn't hear
it. He was Saruman, so I mean that.
That's true.
That makes sense.
I saw that Jeff Bridges had an album.
He did Crazy Heart, remember?
Yeah.
So we know he's got chops.
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot where somebody will do a movie and they're like, well, he's got a little talent. You should do an album.
Because it's Gwyneth Paltrow was in the movie Duets.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Huey
of.
Lewis.
The great Huey Lewis.
And so I'm pretty sure that, you know, they do some training and then they just like get a fire lit under their butt.
Yeah, and then she did a country movie, that Country Strong movie where she was like a country singer. So
you're right, I remember now.
And I think, you know, that's probably where they said, oh, she can sing a little bit. And then, they'll do like an animated movie where they're singing. And,
right.
Like the movie Happy Feet, which is a terrible animated movie. I hate the movie. But
so bad.
But I love the music in there.
It's pretty good.
Because Hugh Jackman sings his ass off. And like Brittany Murphy sings her ass off.
That's pretty
and,
cool.
And Robin Williams, of course, sings his ass off.
Yeah, he was always doing good. But he was doing good as the genie. All right, so what's your recommendation?
So my recommendation, I gave it a listen basically just because she's hot.
Right, Natch.
I really like the Scarlett Johansson album.
It said that because before she became a popular like nerd icon, she was like an indie icon.
Uh-huh.
And she was sort of flexing her muscles from that is what I read.
I liked the
I didn't listen to it.
I liked it. It was
the listen?
And it was kind of weird cuz it was all the entire album with the exception of one song was Tom Waits covers.
That's weird.
Really weird.
Tom Waits also has like an enormous catalog.
Yeah.
So you could pick some stuff and you
and it
know.
Was and it was mostly like not like 70s Tom Waits.
Right.
It was like 80s and 90s
That's
Tom
pretty
Waits,
cool.
Which
I'm,
is kind of like
what
she would be with in her age group, what she would be listening to. But there was one song that she co-wrote that was an original. But
that's awesome.
It's actually good. It's
all
actually
right.
pretty good.
Worth
it had listen? Like some you know pretty good commercial success. I saw one review that said she sounded like Tinkerbell on cough syrup.
I'd listen to that. I don't.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're slowed down? Because the whole issue with Tinkerbell is that it's too high pitched.
Yeah. You know, she's got kind of like that, like deep, like
sultry
voice. Good.
Yeah.
That's a good word for it. Basically just gave it a listen just because I think she's hot, and turns out she can actually sing a little bit. That animated movie, Sing, mm-hmm. that came out recently, yeah. she was one of the characters in that.
I'm not going to see that movie.
No, I like big musical numbers.
That's true, you do. Can't argue that.
It's not a good movie, but I like the music in it.
That's fair.
It's very much like Happy Feet. Yeah. So listen to the Happy Feet soundtrack. Don't watch the Happy Feet movie. Also because it has an original song by Prince on it.
Oh, cool. So,
there you go.
All right.
A Grammy-winning original song by Prince.
I mean, would he write something that's not Grammy-winning?
That he didn't even go up to the... He was in attendance and didn't even go up to the podium to accept it.
Awesome. Not worth my time.
Because Prince can't be bothered to walk to the stage.
I got stuff to do.
That's how cool he was.
This has been... Dean and I listened to an album put out by a celebrity who is not in the music field. And we decided that... You say something now.
This has been Dan and Mike talk about sex tapes, harmonize, and do shitty impressions of celebrities.
And of course, Randy Savage won.
Of course he did.
Randy Savage.
Because he dropped the big elbow on Paris Hilton off the top rope. She couldn't kick out.
So, all right, now we're on to the plug section. Dan, what do you got for us?
Well, I think it's kind of cool that I got to talk about wrestling for like 2 hours with you.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So it was kind of like having you on my podcast, like where you have me on yours from time to time. My wrestling podcast, Rhino Wrestling Review, is on iTunes and also on YouTube if you don't want to download it on iTunes. It's also on InsideSTL.com, which is part of the 590 AM family here in St. Louis. But that's kind of my big thing that I got going on right now. And it was kind of cool to get to tie my wrestling knowledge into one of the shows we do together.
Double dip. It's great. Yep. All right, guys. This has been Comparing Apples to Oranges. I'm Mike.
Daniel.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Broken glass, broken hearts, power, power.
Listening, this has been episode 16 of the podcast, and I hope you like this one. Look us up on Tumblr. We are comparing apples to oranges, all one word, .tumblr.com. That's where links for my co-hosts and info about upcoming and past episodes will be. If you have comments or ideas for future episodes of the podcast, send it to, you can do Twitter, that's @thecatopodcast, all one word, or email us, send it to catopodcast@gmail.com. Intro, outro, and music bad music was Thumbs Up by this artist that you've heard me talk about before. He's great, named Leisure B. If you like that and want to check out more of his stuff, go to humanworkshop.com. Bye for now.